is we're learning parshas Vayetze. Starts off Vayetze Yaakov Beersheva, Shava Vayelech Harono. Yaakov left Beersheva and he went to Haran. So I love this vort, and I know I've said it every year, but it's so kedai to hear again. Shouldn't it be Vayetze Yaakov mi Beersheva leHaran? That Yaakov left Beersheva to go to Haran. It doesn't have to be Vayelech Harono, going to Haran. So it says Harono means leHaran. Yeah, that's true, but you don't have to say the word Vayelech either. So why not say leHaran? Or say Harono. Say Vayetze Yaakov Beersheva, Harono. You don't have to say Vayelech. The whole Vayelech is totally unnecessary. Plus, Harono is a little weird. Why write Harono instead of leHaran? So you could write it. It's true. You could write it. But why bother doing it? What do we gain out of saying it that way? So the Gra, Vilna Gaon, used to tell people right before they would go on a trip. Right before they went on a trip. He would tell them the following thing. Yachid v'rabim, halacha k'rabim. You have an individual versus a public, you know, versus many people. You always go with the rabbi. Question is, why would he do such a thing? So the pashup shot behind that is that he always wanted somebody to leave with the halacha. He always wanted to tell over halacha before somebody left, so that he'd think about that halacha on his trip. He'd be able to think about Torah while he's going on that trip. That's the normal answer. The normal answer is, look, he's thinking of Torah while he's going there, so he told him a quick mishnah, a quick something or other, for him to be able to know something while he's on his trip. Reb Chaim Volozhin has a biur, and all the different crazy things that the Gra did. It's called Biuri Reb Chaim Volozhin. And in that Biuri Chaim Volozhin, he says the pshat behind it is Yochid v'rabim halacha kirabim is the Rosh Tevas, the first letter of each word is Yud Vav He Chaf. Yud Vav He Chaf stands for a shame of a Kadosh Baruch Hu known as Yud Vav Hach. I'll say it is Yuhach, whatever it is. It's the shame of a Kadosh Baruch Hu as known as Yuhach. That shame is supposed to protect you from different crazy things that might happen to you on your travels. It's supposed to protect you completely so that nothing bad happens to you while you're traveling. That shame was used by Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim. Hashem was used, and don't think it's just nothing. We dipped 16 times out of our cup. 10 for the Aseret Dibros, 3 for Dam Va'esh V'Simos Asham, and 3 for Tetzach Hadosh Be'achav. It's Yud Vav Hach. We take Yud Vav Hach. Says the Shach in Hilchos Pesach. It's a Shach. It's like a regular parish. It's a regular parish on the Shulchan Aruch. Shach comes along and says, you know the Pshat Be'an Yuach? The Pshat Be'an Yuach is that it represents the sword of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Yud Vav, the Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yud Hei, Vav Hei. The Racham of Hashem goes in Hach and hit the Mitzrayim. And that's the sword that came down when Hashem said, I'm doing it, and not the Malachim. It was the sword Yuach that came and destroyed all the Mitzrayim. That was the sword that went ahead and did that. That's the whole idea behind that. That's true. What the Gro was doing was saying, Yochid v'rabim halacha kirabim, to take the shame of Yuhach and put it on that guy so the guy will be protected when he's going in his travels. Yaakov Avinu probably also did such a thing. Meaning when he went on his travels, he wanted to make sure that he had the shame of Yuhach with him so he never would be hurt. It did. Vayelech Harona. What should it have said? L'Haron. Take the extra letters of Vayelech Harona. Take out Licharon. You come up with an extra Vav, Yud, and Chaf out of Vayelech, and you have an extra Hey in Harona. That's Vav, Yud, Chaf, Hey, which is Yuach. You have the shame of Yuach that's mentioned right over there. Vayelech Harona, you know what he was doing? He took those letters of Yuach and he used it for himself so that when he traveled, he would be able to be safe. Says the Midrash Rabbah on Perek Ayin Hey, I say it every Friday night. That's where we get Kiyamalachov, Yitzavelach, Lishmorecha, Becholderachacha. If anybody sits by my house, Rafi knows it. That pasuk that we say, that you say over in the beginning, what those stand for is the last letters is again, ki is yud, malachov, vav, yitzaveh, hey, loch is a chav. It's straight out Yuhach. It's mentioned that name of Yuhach, and that's why when you travel home, the malachim are with you, they're traveling with you, and they're protecting you, and everything's all good. Okay, that's that. That's that. Question is, yeah, I know, I've shrunk a little bit, unfortunately. Okay, why did he make Marav right now? We know that Yaakov Yidu made Marav, right? By Yitka Bamakom, he was Pogea Bamakom. What? Because he's traveling. It's first time traveling.
Isn't that the first time someone's been traveling?
No, you're right. But it's the first time he's traveling outside of Chutz La'aretz, in which it's not Avraham Avinu knowing that he had a sibui from a Kadosh Baruch Hu or something similar. This is Yaakov Avinu going over to Lavan, where he's told by Yitzchak, and his mom is scared. I've been in yeshiva for the past 14 years. He's scared. So it was a perfect time to be able to use it. And by the way, you see it later on. What did he do with those rocks? He put it around his head. Why did he put it around his head? Because why? Says Rashi, he's afraid of Chayos Ros. Chayos Ros, evil animals that were going to sit there right by him. That's the problem, that he was afraid right now. Now he's afraid because of what's going to happen over here. Now he's really afraid. That's his problem. That's what's going on over here. Either way, that's number one. The next pasuk, Vayivka Bamakom, Vayomem Shom Kivah Shemesh. He hit that place. The pasuk says Vayivka. Rashi says Vayivka Ein Pigia El Lashon Tefila. That means that Yaakov Avinu made a tefila right now. He made a tefila of Marav. Made a tefila of Marav. Now you really have a question, Avi. Where do we get this idea of, oh, let's make a tefila of Marav? Why Marav now? Why not later? Why not any other time? Now you're going to make Marav? What's the big deal about making Marav right now? What's the big deal about it now? So here we go. We got a really good shot over here. Taimon Agam says, what happened in that day? He was sitting there. He went all the way to Charan. He had Kvitza Derech both times. He went to Charan. He took one step and went to Charan. And realized, did I just pass over the Makom HaMikdash and not daven there? How could I have done that? So he took one step back and he found himself in the Makom HaMikdash. So now he's standing by the Makom HaMikdash. He's standing at Har HaMoriah and he's ready to daven Mincha because it's still daytime. He's ready to daven Mincha. But Kiva HaShemesh, says Rashi, the sun set suddenly without him realizing it. The sun just set completely. He said it became dark outside and he was sitting there and saying, oh my gosh, did the sun just set on me? How did the sun just set on me? And he went all crazy. I can't believe the sun just set on me. What am I going to do? I missed Mincha. So he davened then a brand new tefillah. Started a brand new tefillah called Marav. And it was the first time that he'd ever davened at night. He never thought he needed to make night. And that's why Marav is a reshus, not a chova. It's a reshus. Because it's not officially, we continue. No. Marav is a reshus, but we continue not as a chova. But it's permissible to do. But there's no chiv, because Yaakov never meant to make Marav. He only made it because he missed Mincha. And from then on, he kept doing it because he said, oh, if I did it once, then I'll do it again. But Yaakov really made it for that way. And the hope shot is because the past 14 years, Yaakov, on the past 77 years, what has Yaakov been doing up until now? Torah Sum Naso. All he's been doing is learning Torah all day long. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai never davened. He never davened. Because if your Torah is your work all day long, you can't stop to daven. You have to say Shema. Okay, you have to say Shema. But you can't stop to daven Shimon Esrei. Yaakov wasn't allowed to daven until this point. Finally, he's traveling. He figures, oh, I'll daven. But he's so not used to davening, he passes up that place and says, oh, I don't need to daven anywhere, because he thinks. But then he's like, wait a second. I'm traveling. When you're traveling, you're supposed to daven. So he went back to that place. He went back to the Makom, HaMikdash, and he sat there and he said, okay, now I'm going to go ahead and daven. He went and he davened in that place, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that he make up his own tefillah. Because there's going to be no other time when Yaakov's going to be able to daven, so he made up Marav only at that time. Okay, that's a very good one over there. Sulam, the whole idea we have this Sulam is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely unbelievable. You can go to the Ramban, you can go to the Rabbeinu Ephraim, you can check out the Das HaKanan. There are unreal Perushim on what this Sulam means, what this Sulam represents, the Al-Guruveni, the Chidah. Everybody has unbelievable Perushim, what's going on over there. Not going to say much. The Al-Guruveni says one thing that I wanted to concentrate on. We know it's Malachim. Which Malachim were going on? Going up, going down? There are three very, very high Malachim that I hope one day we'll be able to go through exactly what these Malachim do. I don't really get it myself just yet, but I'm sure we'll get it soon. Their names are Sandal, Metat. I mean, I don't say the whole name, but it's Sandal and then Fun. There's Metat and then Ron. I always call it Metatron, the Sarah Olam, the angel of the world. And then the other one is Akasri, whose last name is El. So there's Akasri. So those three are the major Malachim that are up there in Shemayim that take care of the Satan, that make sure the Satan doesn't get around. They watch the paths of the Satan. It's a whole story with Moshe De La Reina that I told over once, in which these three Malachim take prominent place. Metat, Sandal, and Akasri. These are the three major Malachim. Behind the pargo, so to speak. Metat is the one that ties, Sandal is the one that makes the crowns for God and throws it up there to crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Metat is the one that's writing down all the schuyos for Bnei Yisrael, and Akasri is just cool. I don't know what exactly they do. But either way, Sulam Mutzav Arza starts off Samach Mem Aleph. To defeat the Sam, who's also El, right? Sulam Mutzav Arza. To defeat that Sam, and Sulam happens to be the Gematria of Sam, Kel, Samach Mem Aleph Lamud, which is the name of the Sultan. To defeat them, you need Sandal, Metat, and Akasri. Sulam is the Samach. Mutzav is the Mem. And Orsa is the Aleph for Sandal, Metat, and Akasri. And you add them all together, Sandal, Metat, Akasri, adding other ends of their names. Gematrians as well. It comes out to the Gematria of 1256. 1256 is seeing Gematria as Nora. As Ma Nora HaMakom HaZeh. And you think about it, wait a second, I'm off by about 1,000. Nora is Nun Vav Resh Aleph. It's altogether 257. Says the Yalka Ruveni, the Aleph is Eleph. So it's Nora, Nun Vav Resh Aleph is an Eleph. So it's 1,000 from the Aleph, and then 256, so it's 1256, which is the same thing as Sandalme Tadakashri. That's one of the most unbelievable Gematrias I've ever heard before in my life. To use the Aleph as that, I'm going to use it all the time now. But either way, the Pashim Shad is that Rifal Michal and Gabriel. Yalka Ruveni says that. Pashim Shad is Rifal Gabriel Michal.
What? What did it spell out?
Nora.
No, but like, the
Sulam Mutzav Arza. The Samach Mem Aleph. That's where it comes from. Either way, the Pashim Shad is that we call Gabriel and Rifal, that they were the ones, because they were knocked down here, they weren't allowed to go back up to Shemayim, because they sinned and said, Mashchisim and Achno were destroyers. That's the Pashim Shad that's given over here. If you want to see an unbelievable piece, see Revolson. Revolson is an awesome piece on that, but we're not going to go into the Sulam at all. However, I have a great little piece over here. And Yaakov waking up. Yaakov wakes up from his sleep and he says, Vayomer, Achein, Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. However, there is God in this place. You hear that line? However, what's with the Achein? Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. So Rabbi Shachter said it out last year, but it's in Nitzutz Shimshon, so I'm allowed to say it because I brought the Nitzutz Shimshon to this space matter, so we're bringing it out over here. Achein stands for three massive things that are on the Kiseh HaKavod. Now, on the Kiseh HaKavod, there are four sides. We know there's Gabriel, Michal, Rafal, and Uriel. Those four malachim surround the Kiseh HaKavod. On each side of the Kiseh HaKavod is a certain picture. On one of them, there is a kruv, an angel. On one of them, there is an aryeh, a lion. On the other one, there's a nesher, an eagle. And on the fourth one, there's an adam, a picture of Adam Arisha. Now, we also know that Yaakov Avinu was me'ein shufrei to Adam Arisha. Yaakov Avinu looked, had similar to the beauty of Adam. He didn't look like Adam exactly. Very similar to the beauty of Adam Arisha. Says Yaakov Avinu, when he saw, he said, Achein, Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. Achein, aryeh, adam, kruv, nesher. Aleph stands for aryeh. Chaf is Kruv, Nun is Nesher. That Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. I knew that Achein was up there. Aval Anochi, but that I was up there. Aryeh, Kruv, Nesher, Yaakov, or Anochi, that I was on the Kiseh HaKavod. Lo Yadati. That I had no idea. I had no idea that myself was up there on the Kiseh HaKavod. That's why the Malachim were coming down. Says the Yonis Menuzio. The Malachim went up to Shemayim and said, "We've seen the picture on the Kiseh HaKavod. He's down there on Earth and he's sleeping. Let's go see him." And that's what he was saying. That I had absolutely no idea about. Rabbi Shachter took it to another point last year. Shachter took it to a tremendous point last year. He said the pshat behind that is, it goes a little bit further. You can finally understand what Yaakov Avinu meant when Rachel came up to him and said, "Please daven for me that I have a child. Daven for me that I have a child. Why aren't you davening for me? And if not, I'm going to die." Whoa. That's a little harsh. If not, I'm going to die? So what did Yaakov say back? Yaakov said back to her, such a line, "Hataka zelokim anokhi." What, am I instead of God? What are you talking to me for? I can't do anything. Go daven to God yourself. What do you mean? A tzaddik can't daven for you? She was going up to Yaakov to daven for her because she was asking a tzaddik to daven for her. What do you mean Yaakov? Yaakov's yelling back, "Come on, who am I?" You're a tzaddik, buddy. You know who you are. Of course you can daven for her. What's the problem? Such an awesome answer. She said, daven for her. Yaakov, you know, you're on the Kiseh HaKavod. For the Kiseh HaKavod. You don't think you can get something from God? What's so, if you're like in the president's office, don't you think you can ask for something? If you can't, Mesanochi. You might as well have Aryeh Krup Nesher Yaakov be dead. It's as if you're not up there. Because why should you bother being up there? You're not getting anything anyway. To which she said back, Hatachas Elokim Anochi. I am under God. I'm too far down. I'm not in the place where I can ask. I'm on the Kiseh HaKavod, which means God is sitting on me. I'm not high enough to be able to get that high to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knew that Rachel didn't have a womb. He knew that she didn't have anything inside her to be able to have a child. And he said to her, "I'm not there to be able to get you that womb. I'm not like Avram Avinu." That he wasn't saying, am I instead of God? It's a question for him. He's saying, Tachas Elokim Anochi. I am under God. Yes, I'm under God, and I'm too far down to be able to daven for what you want me to daven for. I can't do it. I'm just too far down there. That's what he was saying. And he wasn't saying it as a question. That's the pshat behind what he was saying over there. That's that. That's that idea. We are going to say a little bit more on that a little bit later. But for now, that's that. The Rabbeinu Bachai says another thing. Cute little board for Shabbos. Because all up until now, we pretty much, that's pretty much Kabbalah. A very cute board for Shabbos. Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, Vayira Vayomar, Ma Nora HaMakom. Is that how awesome is this place? We said Nora was the Gematria of 1256. HaMakom is in this huge place. Ein Zeh Kim Beis HaLakim. This is only the house of God. Vizeh Shara Shamayim. This is the gates of heaven. Three times were the word Zeh, was the word Zeh used in this pasuk. Says Rabbeinu Bachaya, three times must refer to the three Batei Mikdashes. Three Batei Mikdashes. How? Says Rabbeinu Bachaya, Zeh stands for the Shekhinah. We see that out. It says when they saw Zeh Keli Van Behu, the people said it at Kriyas Yamsu. Zeh Keli Van Behu, Zeh refers to the Shekhinah. It's pointing up to God and saying this is the Shekhinah. So we know in the first Batei Mikdash, the Shekhinah was definitely around. The Shekhinah was there. Second Batei Mikdash, there was no Shekhinah at all. Third Batei Mikdash, it's awesome. It's going to be the Batei Mikdash straight from Shemayim is going to come back down to us, and we're going to have the full Batei Mikdash from Shemayim. Look at the pasuk again. Manora Hamakom Hazeh. The first Batei Mikdash is Nora Hamakom Hazeh. How awesome the first Batei Mikdash is. But the second Batei Mikdash was Ein Zeh Kiyam Beis Elokim. There's no Shekhinah, but it's a Beis Elokim. It's a house of God. That's the second Batei Mikdash. Bezeh Shara Shamayim. And this, the Shekhinah, will bring about the third Beis Hamikdash, which is the gates of Shemayim. That's going to come straight down from Shemayim. That's going to be the third Beis Hamikdash. That's what's going to come down over here. That's the idea behind that pasuk. Okay, he came to the road, came up to the shepherds. We all know this whole thing, right? He rolls off the rock, and then it says, Vayishak Yaakov Baruch. He kissed Rachel. He kissed Rachel. So now, what does that mean? How could he kiss her? Aside from the fact that he obviously wasn't married to her, and even if you say she was a relative of his, she was a cousin, a first cousin, you can still marry a first cousin. Is that mutter to be able to kiss your first cousin? So how is that mutter? And he did it in public, in front of other shepherds. The Miyam Lewes says that they went all crazy on him, and they said, we've been goaded ourselves from Arias. We've kept ourselves from doing crazy things of Arias since the times of the Dora Mabel. And this guy comes, and he starts doing this in front of us? Miyam Lewes says that, and Yaakov started to cry, by Yaakov. He cried. Rashi says, because he saw in the future what was going to happen. But according to Miyam Lewes, it's because he cried that they were choshed b'ksherim. But what did he do? He kissed a girl. And plus, aren't there Nida issues? You're not allowed to touch a Nida. Later on, Rachel used an excuse. I can't get up. There's an idol underneath me, and I'm a Nida. I'm not allowed to get up because I'm a Nida. Lavan was like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Nidas were ostracized from the communities. The Ramban says, you weren't allowed to talk to a Nida because her breath is so dangerous it could kill you. The Chassam Sofer, by the way, Shalos HaTshuvos Chassam Sofer, and Chelek Ora Chaim, I believe it's Simon Lamed Dalet, says that we don't have it nowadays because times have changed. But back then, Nida's breath killed. Nida's breath, mamish, could kill. So you weren't allowed to talk to a Nida, you weren't allowed to be in the same room as Anita. They had to be separate from the community and thrown out into a separate tent, and they had to wear white all the time to make sure that everybody knew they were Anita. Very crazy. But either way, they went ahead and they had that. That's what happened by Anita. So you mean to tell me that Yaakovina wasn't worried about that and just kissed her? Not ask her? Did he ask her before? Are you Anita? No? Alright, go ahead. Well, what was going on here? What? He didn't smell her breath. Right, but it's still dangerous. Don't you think? Was he overcome? He saw Rachel and he becomes, you know, like takes the rock, like throws it off, and he's just like, come here. He like grabs her and kisses her. What is this? It sounds like a Herculean move. So what's going on here? Plus, Atah Kadosh, Vishimcha Kadosh, you are holy. Your name is holy. Refers to Yaakov Avinu. He's the man of holiness. You can't say this guy is going around kissing random women in the street. So what's going on here? So number one is the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bachaya. They say, based on later on, where Yaakov says, I'll work for you for 7 years. Says the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bachaya, what? 7 years of work for a wife? Why? So the answer is because he wanted to wait for her to be 12. That means that right now, how old is she? 5. At the age of 5, there were no Nida issues, obviously. And she was a Ketana, and it was mutter to give her a kiss. That was much for to give her a kiss. Especially him being 77, her being 5. And we're assuming right now this is not one of those sick things that we're talking about. It's something that would be mutter for him to be able to kiss a 5-year-old. Because a 5-year-old is a 5-year-old. 5-year-old is a 5-year-old. Now, even if you tell me, but Rivka might have been 3. Rivka might have been 3. Another issue altogether. What Yitzchak did with Rivka is something else altogether. Whether she was 14, 3, whatever it is. There's a famous Rav Shimon Schwab on it. Go check out the Rav Shimon Schwab. But regarding Rachel, who was 5, Yaakov wasn't ready to marry her yet. And knowing that it was a little kid, he went ahead and kissed her. That's number one. That's how the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bachai answer up that question. Okay. Tzferes Yonis and Rabbi Yonis and Eichet said she was 14. But he thought of death. The reason why he kissed her, the reason why he was able to kiss her, is because at that time he was crying. And he thought of death. He saw her death. He saw what was going to be, that she was going to die and be buried in a separate place, not in Maariv Machpelah. Since he was crying, and he himself knew it wasn't with Taiva, so therefore he went ahead and kissed her to show her, I'm sorry that we're not going to be separated from one another. The revulsion takes that to another level as well, but we're not going to go into that. However, because he didn't do it with tzniyas, he did it publicly, the shepherds all yelled at him and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? And they yelled at him, and they thought he was doing something wrong. The Ben Ish Chai, however, has the best answer of all time. The Ibn Ezra says, it doesn't say that Yishak Yaakov Rachel, that Yaakov kissed Rachel. What does it say? That Yishak Yaakov lived Rachel. The Lamed is extra. What is that Lamed doing over here? What's the Lamed coming to teach me? What's the Lamed adding on for us? So the Pshat is like this. Also, right before it says Rachel Ba'ah, it says Rachel slash. There's a psik. Ba'imatzon. When you read it in the Torah, you got to read it as Rachel Ba'imatzon. There's a slash right in the middle. What's that slash for, he asks? What's going on here? So first of all, what's the Lamed? Second of all, what's the Ba'imatzon? What's going on here? So the Ben Ish Chai says the following. Vaday Rachel was the biggest snoo in the world. She wouldn't go outside not wearing a veil. If all the women that are Arabs nowadays, and especially in the times of the Ben Ish Chai, he lived in Arab places. If the Arabs nowadays don't go outside without wearing all this clothing all over the place, so that it's barely like little eye slats showing. I just saw a woman driving, by the way, wearing the whole garb and just having her eyes showing. I slowed down and I waited for her to get out of my path before I started driving. There's no way our peripheral vision has got to be the worst you've ever seen ever. I can't believe it. Couldn't believe seeing such a woman drive. But the fact is, they were covered up completely. Rachel Imenu Vada was also covered up completely. There was not one part of her body that was showing, not one. And not only that, she was Barachel slash, she had a veil in front of her that covered her up so that nobody could see her, but also Ba Imhatzon. She was coming with the sheep. Not in front of the sheep, not in back of the sheep, with the sheep. Says the Ben Ish Chai, she surrounded herself with sheep. Said if any shepherds came anywhere near her to try to do something inappropriate, the sheep would have to be taken apart of, or they would have to be taken care of them first. And the sheep were apparently dangerous sheep. Yaakov, and we say later on, Yaakov's sheep were able to kill wolves. It's a Medrash Rabbah that they were able to keep wolves. The same sheep over here, they were killer sheep. So anybody who wanted to get by were killed by these sheep that were coming up there. So that's how Rachel came. She came, slash, Ba'imatzon. Yaakov Inu saw that and came toward her. The sheep parted, sort of like Kriyas Yamsu, said he was able to go quite near her. And he took the veil, and he kissed the veil that was on top of Rachel. That's Vayishak Yaakov Lirachel. Not Rachel herself, but Lirachel, to the thing that was on top of Rachel, just like Zvulin Lechof Yamim Yishkon. Zvulin on the banks of the sea lives. Lechof Yamim is Al Chof Yamim. So to over here, Yishak of Lirachel is Al Rachel. He kissed the thing that was on Rachel. So he took that veil and he kissed the thing that was on Rachel to save her and see us. But the Roim, the shepherds, didn't see that. They just saw Yaakov go up to Rachel and give her a kiss. They didn't realize that he kissed something on top of her. They thought it was actually Rachel. They yelled at him and said, what are you doing? And Yaakov was saying, why don't you be your Choshev Nechsherim? I didn't do anything wrong here. What's wrong with you? That's what happened in this. Unbelievable, Ben Ish Chai. Whether or not that's Pshat, I don't know. The Ramban is Pshat. She's 5 years old.
Why would he
but this
that?
Is a nice little grabbing around. I'm sorry?
Why would he even do that? Like, don't cause problems.
Don't cause issues. Don't cause issues. He's so overcome with, oh, wow, is this crazy? Look what I'm fighting over here. Yeah, but about this, it's a favor of Mo. But aside from that, but yeah.
We make it an issue. We have to come up with all these rationalizations.
Right, for them. Right, for them, it was absolutely. We don't even go into it. Either way, I have so. Oh my gosh. Okay, we have three more boards, and these three boards are awesome. But the first one is like this. Says in Pasuk Yud Zayin, we know Leah ended up getting switched for Rachel, right? We also know later on that Yaakov did not exactly like Leah as much as he loved Rachel. The Pasuk in Yud Zayin says, "Ve'ene Leah Rakos." The eyes of Leah are soft. They were soft. From crying, Rashi says, she had crazy looking red eyes because she cried all the time. And she couldn't believe she was going to have to marry Esau. She didn't want to marry Esau, so she cried and cried and cried, not ever wanting to marry Esau. That's what it is, Ene Leah Rakos. Says the Medrash, Ene Leah Arukos. Arukos, they're long. Okay, what do you get out of that? Says Rashi, over there in the Medrash Rabbah, Matnoseha Arukos. Her matanos, the gifts that were given to her, were very long. What does that mean? What do you mean the gifts that were given to her were long? What do we get out of all that? A medrash is brought in the Das HaKeinim. Listen to this medrash. Unbelievable medrash. Yaakov goes to Rachel and says to her, Remiyasa Bas Ramai, you trickster, the daughter of a liar. You liar, the daughter of a liar.